listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Lamar Jackson leads the Ravens back from the dead, RJ, beating the Colts 31-25 in overtime, but failing to cover the number.
Okay, so first question, how unlikely was it? If you look at the various projection models online, about 25-1 against. So Ravens to just win the game were about 4% at their low point. Now, we all know the bookies are dastardly. Cockroaches, as they say. You would have gotten, if you shopped, 10-1. So let me think. 25-1, 10-1 seems about right for the bookies. Still a nice payoff. As you think about, quick answer here, AJ, as you think about that game at its low point, does 25-1 seem right? Does 10-1 seem short? What's your gut feeling?
Probably somewhere in the middle. I was thinking probably about 20-1 when Lamar fumbled and it went back the other way. They thought it was gone for a touchdown, but it ended up not being quite returned for a touchdown. But that moment where they were knocking on the door, they were at the 1 yard line, about to get back in the game, and Lamar fumbles, it felt like that was basically it.
That's AJ Hoffman. We are straight out of Vegas. To me, Lamar's performance is a big red underline on a bigger narrative, a very important narrative for the Ravens with their playoff potential. And that is the following. This year, and I'm looking at the entire season, the Ravens have passed the ball, which is Lamar, obviously, much, 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 much better than expected. If you look at efficiency, EPA, for the season, passing the ball, the Ravens are ninth. And this is removing junk time, which is a good way to do it. And rushing the ball, 24th. All right, ninth passing for the Ravens, 24th rushing. Now, they've been one of the top rushing teams every year with Lamar. So on one hand, you can say, hooray, Ravens can now throw the ball, which isn't that the problem in the playoffs? Oftentimes, if they fall behind, they can't throw. Yes, I agree. Now the question is, how does that one, how sustainable is it? Now, if you actually look from week two, which is sort of arbitrary, but okay, from week two onward, so eliminating week one, Ravens are the fourth most efficient team passing the ball. Fourth. That means only three teams ahead of them, AJ. You following that?
It's unbelievable, but I am following.
All right, now.
Math seems right. Math adds up.
All right, good. You always double check. So, to me, if we can guarantee, which we can't, but if we could guarantee that this was sustainable, I think it's a fair trade-off, meaning this is a passing league. It'd be, you know, if you're the best running team or the 12th best passing team, yeah, you probably want to be the best running team. If you're worried about regular season dominance over inferior competition, the ones you can grind into the ground, running the ball has its advantages. But if you're looking to win in the playoffs, and if you're looking to win long-term in the NFL, passing is more important these days. It's just a fact. And is it worth trading being the best running team to be the ninth best passing team? I'm not sure about that. But to be the fourth best passing team, I think it's certainly worth it. The future, the near future, is going to tell us where the Ravens really are at. My one caveat to the optimism is that a lot of this has happened late in games, in these game states, which are very high variance. Now, you could say, well, before he couldn't come back in those spots. I agree. So it's, but can he pass as effectively when it's 7-7, when it's a closer game? I don't know. Because, I mean, if you look at this game even, AJ, Lamar was pretty pedestrian up until the last 20 minutes of the game. Would you agree with that?
I do agree with that.
Now, if you look at his end stats, they're shockingly good. 37 of 42. That's only 5 incompletions. 442, 3 touchdowns. His rushing you add in, which actually went over the total late, AJ, 504 total offense for Lamar. And we'll talk about Carson Wentz. He certainly played his best game as a Colt. And one of his best games of his career, you could say, certainly after his second year onward, you know, that quasi-MVP season. After that, this is one of his best games for sure. I mean, I test again, AJ, or any way you want to consider the question, what's your optimism level of Lamar continuing passing this well?
I'm optimistic, and I do think what you said is apt, that you'll take that trade-off. I actually think maybe it's more than an even trade-off, because it's not like Lamar suddenly can't run the ball if he needs to. I think if it comes down to it and Lamar needs to run to get yards, he's still going to be able to do it. But the fact that he's showing this new identity, being able to throw the ball, it's going to make it even more difficult for defenses to plan against him. They thought before, oh, all we got to do is load up the box. He's not going to beat us with his arm. Now you can't just assume that he won't beat you with his arm. So I think it's going to make teams adjust to what Lamar is doing, and thus make him even more successful doing whatever you plan against. He'll just do the other thing.
That's AJ Hoffman, straight out of Vegas. I'm RJ Bell.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You're making two really important points, I think. Number one, I don't think there's a correlation to, oh, they're choosing the throw, so it hurts the running. Because if it were the case, then they'd be thrown just as effectively probably the whole game. It feels like that when it's desperation time, they start to throw more. And he's just answering the bell. Thus, in theory, whatever it is that's causing the running not to be as efficient could turn around this year, next year, while not hurting his passing. Now, if that's the case, if the Ravens could run like last year, and we're talking efficiency, because obviously if we're talking yardage, it's going to be about number of carries and all that. But if they could be as efficient running the ball as they were last year, and Lamar passed like he did this year, has this year, they would be the Super Bowl favorite. They'd be the best offense in the NFL. They'd be a better offense in Kansas City. I don't know if there's some magical connection that as they started running better, he'd pass less. Would he pass less efficiently? I don't know. I don't think so. So on one hand, if you're looking for Lamar's career stock, if this is true, if this is his current truth and will be the truth ongoing, it's been a quantum leap. And anyone that was a skeptic of him, which was me as a passer, I'll put myself in that category, I'm starting to think, I'm starting to be uncertain at this point. I'm more optimistic of his ability. Because it's not just the thing about his passing I think people got wrong was they'd say, oh, look at this QBR stat or that. And it's like, really, though, his ability to run and the team's ability to run was almost like Army or Navy passing. Right? When you run so much, it's easier to pass on a play action. If you have to pass, can you pass? That's the real question in the NFL. And that's when Lamar's been excelling, where they've been in game situations where they had to pass, and he's delivered. And what's been the main lament with Lamar question has been his accuracy passing. If you actually look at his completions over expectation, one of the best performances on record last night, obviously when you're 37-42, but they weren't all wide open. So it's like, in a way, that old sense of, yeah, he can pass if they're crowding the line, if they're heavy in the box. Lately, he's been passing well in seemingly every situation. That is a major change. Go ahead, AJ.
Yeah, and it's funny, we talked all offseason about Josh Allen, and when is the last time a quarterback went from being an inaccurate passer to suddenly becoming an accurate one? And we couldn't really come up with an example. And here, if Josh Allen actually has become a more accurate passer, Lamar Jackson would be the second example in a 2-year span that really is unprecedented going back the last 10, 15 years before that.
I agree with that. I also think it speaks to how it's still unlikely. I still think this is an aberration. That said, the odds of it not being are fairly significant. I'd say probably 35, two-thirds, one-third. I think there's a real one-third chance this is his new truth. And if so, it would be the second in memory.
I also think that the Ravens really need to hope this is his new truth, because defensively, this is not the Ravens team we've seen in the past. If you're going to be a run-heavy offense, you've got to be able to play defense. And Carson Wentz threw for 400 yards on this Ravens defense. They've got a ton of guys on IR. They're going to have to win some shootout-type games, so they need a quarterback who can throw the football for the rest of this season, if not, you know, more long-term than that even.
That's A.J. Hoffman. We're breaking down Monday Night Football Vegas style. We're straight out of Vegas. I'm R.J. Bell. Wentz had 11.5 yards per attempt, the highest of his career. Lamar had over 10 yards per attempt. Amazing. Both teams over 500 yards of offense. Not necessarily a defensive struggle. Now, I've been waiting, A.J. We're about 12 minutes into the show. No mention of Mark Andrews.
Oh, there's mention, my friend.
Where at? I mean, did I somehow doze off during the show? Because I know this is exciting, so I didn't doze off.
147 yards. I didn't have the music, the bum, ba, ba, bum, ba, ba, bum. 147 yards on 11 catches, so an easy winner for your Monday Night Football prop bet.
So if he would have had one-third as many yards, would it still have won?
It still would have won.
One-third? That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Hey, listen, I had a bad weekend, so I'll take it. Okay, let's look at the Colts finally here as a team. 1-4, obviously, you can say is bad. What's interesting is the Ravens could easily be 1-4. Think about it. They had the nice, easy, clean win against Denver, and otherwise they lost to the Raiders, which doesn't looks worse and worse in a way, not because of Gruden's issues, but how the Raiders played last couple weeks. And then obviously could have lost to Kansas City, obviously could have lost to Detroit, and obviously could have lost last night. In fact, you'd make the case at key points in those games, they were underdogs in all those games. So if anything, they were probably in the best spot against the Raiders. And it goes to show you why in the NFL, we talked about it yesterday, record in close games is so vital to know when it comes to identifying overrated teams or underrated teams. Colts, not so much. I mean, they could have won this game easily, obviously, but they've kind of deserved to lose the other games. But still right now, to make the playoffs, projections, and this is a medley of projections, 538, PFF, about a 27% chance to make the playoffs. Why at 1-4? Well, it's because of how bad that division is. They got easy games coming up, and obviously Tennessee is a fragile team out ahead of them. And, you know, the best team wins that division, even if they have 7 or 8 wins. Right now, 3-1 would be the fair payoff, a little less, 280, let's say. Would you take Colts plus 280 to make the playoffs, AJ?
I think I would. I don't believe in the Titans, and the run coming up for the Colts here is, you know, in four of their next five games are at home, and those include home games against the Texans, Jets, Jags, and the Titans. So they can really make up some ground in the next couple weeks.
I don't know. That Texans quarterback looked a little better. We'll talk about that. All right. So to recap, obviously an amazing comeback. Lamar took a step, if he can keep it, that will change his career. He's in the MVP race.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's take a look at how the John Gruden firing affects the Raiders from a Vegas standpoint.
Yeah, so we got their Super Bowl odds and such. No big adjustment there. They've, you know, long shots at this point. But in next week's game at Denver, the line was Raiders, a 3-point underdog, a field goal underdog. Now the line's moved to 3.5. And as listeners know, and if you don't, it's important to know, 3 is the most key number in the NFL. It's the most common outcome, and thus going from 3 to 3.5 is a fairly significant move. Now, what's driving that downgrade of the Raiders? Well, obviously there's a sense of disruption. There's a sense of being distracted from football. And let's not forget, Gruden was not one of those CEO head coaches. If anything, amongst the sharpest sharps, it was believed that Gruden was an elite OC type that wasn't a great head coach. But effectively having him as head coach meant that you had him as OC. And he, if you look at Derek Carr, I mean, he has progressed under Gruden. There's just no way around it. And thus, I'll be very interested to look at this Raiders offense early in that game, because Denver's defense was not good against Pittsburgh. And, you know, since Chubb's gotten hurt, I'm not so sure how good that defense is for Denver. And if the Raiders struggle early in that game offensively, if you're betting in game, I might look to fade them, because I think that this could affect the Raiders. And I might be looking to go under team total with the Raiders. AJ, what's your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, John Gruden, one of the coaches who is also the primary play caller for his football team. So it's more than just losing your CEO. It's losing the heart of your offense, really. So
yeah,
it is going to be a big adjustment.
Strategically, I agree. And if you look at the odds of the next head coach, the top five candidates, all current offensive coordinators, Eric Bieniemy is the leader or the favorite to take that or be the next Raiders head coach.
Yeah, and I thought the fact that they didn't even mention Gus Bradley's name, the one guy on staff who does have head coaching experience, I thought that was interesting that he's not the interim guy. I think they're just looking to avoid that altogether and say, we're going to find somebody else.
Looking to avoid what?
Avoid the idea that Gus Bradley may be the long-term answer at head coach.
Okay, so you're saying by not making him the interim, it decreases the expectation he'd be the real coach because they've decided he's not, or that long-term head coach because they've decided he's not going to be that.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody believes that Rich Bisaccia is going to take over as the long-term head coach. So the idea that, okay, they're telling their fan base, listen, we've got a placeholder, we're going to figure this out. Don't worry, it's not going to be Gus Bradley, who's been a failure in general as a head coach.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.